Bruchim Aboyim to the 10th in the continuing series of Shi'urim on HashkafaCircle.com, which is entitled The Oral Tradition of the Written Law. And last time, as we began discussing the oral tradition of the written law, namely the Avodah, the service of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. Actually, the last two times, I should say. Actually, lectures 8 and 9 were devoted to that. And we spoke about the fact that the Avodah, the service of the Kohen Gadol, which was in fact, as we defined it, a type of I would say a duplicate of the historical event of Har Sinai, where the Kohen Gadol, just in a certain sense like Moshe Rabbeinu, comes and enters into the Anan, in which there's a connection, a spiritual connection, physical spiritual connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that in fact this Avodah later becomes a public event, right, which is in fact actually the Yom Tov of Yom Kippur, in which the entire nation is called upon to fast and to atone for their sins. Now, I want to speak a little bit about this emergence, say the emergence, but in fact actually the continuum, the scriptural continuum, from the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol to the public fast, which the Torah commands us on the 10th day of the 10th day of Tishrei. A very central pasuk, which actually we've spoken about, is in Vayikra, Perek Tezayin, and Pasuk Chav Gimel. And until then, the Torah, actually all the Pesukim, until Pasuk Chav Beis and Perek Tezayin, the Torah details the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol, Lifnai V'Lifnim, as he comes into the Kodesh HaGadoshim. The Torah speaks about the Zrikas Hadam, the Zos Hadam, the Zrikas Hadam. The Torah details the two Seirim, the Seil HaZozel, and the different Korbanos would constitute the core and the essence of the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol, which is coming for Kapor and Tahira of Klal Yisrael on Yom Kippur. Pasuk Chav Beis, in a certain sense, brings to a close the Avodah of Kapora and Tahara, the Avodah of Kapora, mainly, when it says, V'nosa asir alav es kol avodosim leos gezeira, v'shilach es sora bamidbar, that the Kohen Gadol sends away the scapegoat. And in a certain sense, the Avodah, whose purpose is the atonement of Klal Yisrael, comes to a conclusion here. After that, the Torah tells us in Pasuk Chav Gimel, it says, Va'aren el alo el mayit, Aaron will come to el mayit, Ufashel is big day abana shalovash bevoy el ha-kodesh v'nicham sham, speaks about Aaron coming to el mayit, and taking off the big day habat, which are the white garments, which are the garments that were specially worn for the avodah, for the service of Lai Lifnei, within the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, within el mayit. And then it says, V'rochas is b'sor b'mayim b'mokim kadosh, and then the Kohen Gadol has to immerse himself. Actually, there's rechitza and tevila, as Chazal learned. And then it says, V'lovash is b'godov. And this indicates not Big Day Abba, which actually Chazal learned, which is clear from the Pesukim, is speaking about the Big Day Azov the Kohen Gadol normally wears. And it says, V'yatza. V'yatza means he leaves oil mayed, leaves b'mokim kadosh, v'osas oilosav yas oilas ha'am. And then he brings the oilos, his oilosai, and the offering of the am. And it's clear that the Pasuk Chav Daled details an avodah service, which is not the avodah leflai v'lifnim. This is not the avodah that the kohen is required to do within oil mayit. So we have a certain sense a shift that there's avodah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then the Kodesh of the Oil Mayad, then of course then we have an Avodah which is in the Chatzah, which is in the courtyard, which is similar to all other Avodahs which are formed during the year. However, the Pasuk itself Pasuk Chav Gimel, which we'll see, we've already spoken about, that Chazal have told us that this pasuk is actually, in fact, out of order. But the pasuk itself requires explanation. It says, Uva Arin el Oyel Moyed. Arin will come to Oyel Moyed. Ufashat es Bigdei Habad, Asher Lovash Bavoyel HaKodesh. And he should take off the Bigdei Habad, the white garments, which he wore as he came, Voyel HaKodesh, when he came to the Kodesh. And Kodesh here probably also means Kodesh, you know, Kodesh Kodoshim. Vini Chamsha. What's the Kohen going doing? He's coming into Oyel Moyed and taking off his clothes? Appears to be the, I mean, certainly that's not what the Kohen Gadol is doing. But the pasuk itself, right, requires an explanation. And then after the Vrochetz Pasuk, B'mayim B'mokim Kodesh, he takes off his clothes and then he washes himself. And then Chas V'Shalom, to think that Oyel Moed was a place where the Torah said a person should take off his clothes and immerse and bathe himself. So the pasuk itself, right, calls out Dav Sheni. The pasuk itself is not to be understood. We've seen, of course, and in fact, actually, that's point number one. So point number one is, so it's clear that the purpose of the Kohen Gadol is not to go into Oyel Moed and take off his clothes. That's clear. So Chazal, of course, we're very much aware of this. And Chazal noticed, like in the Gemara Yuma, and Daf Ayin Sof Amud Beis, Tana Rabbanan, Uva Aren El Oyel Moyed. Lama Huba? In other words, Uva Aren El Oyel Moyed, for what? It can't be Ufoshet is Big Day Habad. In other words, Aren is coming to an Oyel Moyed for some reason, which the Torah at least does not reveal to us explicitly. Uva Aren El Oyel Moyed. And then, after he does what he does, then it says, Ufosh is Bidei Abad. So it's the Hafshatas Habagodim, taking off the white garments, right, are not to be done in Oyel Moyed, but rather, Aaron comes to Oyel Moyed, he does something, which the Torah doesn't make explicit, and then after he does what he does, then Ufosh is Bidei Abad. He takes off the Bidei Abad. So, what is it that Aaron's doing? So, Chazal learned, continue the Gemara, once again in Tav Ayin, Sofam and Bezin Yuma, Uva Aaron al Oyel Moed, Lama Huba, the question Lama Huba just means that there's obviously something that the Torah is alluding to, but certainly not telling us explicitly. Lahoitz Yisakas V'Yisamachta. Aaron is taking out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Kafen Machter, which he left there when he was Machter, the Ketegos, when he burnt the incense. Shekola Parsha Kula Nem Al Asayda. And then, because I'll go on to say that the entire Parsha is said Al Asayda, Chutz Bi Pasuk Zu. Now, in fact, actually, how did Chazal know that the Parsha is not being said in order? Well, it's rather obvious. Because the next Pasuk, right, the next pasuk says, "V'rochet es pasaba mayim b'mokem kodesh v'lovish es begadav." Now, v'yotz v'yosas elos elos ha'am. Now, we could say that Alan a kohen comes into Oyel Moyed. He does whatever he does. Well, Chazal say to be meitz the kaf v'amachta, and then after that he's poshet the begadim, and then after that he goes out. He puts on V'lofesh of begadim means other begadim, which is the big diazav, the gold vestments. And then he does the oilites, which are in fact an avoda which is not lifnai v'lifnei. And therefore this avoda is like any avoda which is done in the chatzis. So in other words, there's a second chiddush here, which he could have learned, that he comes into Oyel Moed and does something. And after that, he goes on and does the rest of the avoda of the yom, which is not, let's put it like, even though it might be unique to Yom Kippur, it's not necessarily an avodah that's centered in Oyel Moed. However, there's an interesting point which has to be brought out here, and the point I have to say appears in the Perush of HaGoyin of David Tzvi Hoffman in Vayikra. What's very, very interesting is that There's something unique in this pasuk about Aaron coming into the Oyel Mayeh. He doesn't come into Oyel Mayeh be'onon, with a cloud. In other words, in Achrei Vayis, the Torah tells us, the Torah warns us, that in fact, Aaron should not come into Oyel Mayeh, and certainly the Kosher Kadoshim, right? Ki be'onon erel ha'kapayres. So therefore, he has to come in and be marked as the Keteres. The Akteres HaKeteres of Aaron is so he shouldn't just come in when ki be'odeh el ha'kapayres, but his connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu has to be that he himself has to fill up through the Keteres, who burn the incense, has to fill up the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the Onan HaKeteres. And that's the condition for connecting with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Here, we see, interestingly enough, is that Aaron is allowed to come into Oyel Mayeh without a keteres. What happened to the kibe onan el ala kapoyres? What happened? Now, one could say that perhaps, now it's clear that what Aaron is doing, lehoitz the kaf amachta, appears to be a certain sense, a type of a makabapatish, it's a final act. You know, it's a concluding act. In other words, lehoitz is a kaf amachta, seems to indicate that Aaron is entering in it, but he doesn't need the onan anymore. He's taking out the kaf and the machta. So David Zvi Hoffman wants to say, I'll repeat over what he has to say. Not only b'shem Oimroi, but the whole wants to say is we see over here is that after it's clear that when can a person enter into oil mine after already a person has done the avaida that's required of him, and after perhaps he was makriv karbonos, then he can come into Oyel Mayeh anytime he wants. At least he can come in without an anakatayus. That's what David Zvi Hoffman wants to say. So, in other words, what is he coming to answer? So he's coming to answer is why would the psukim, in a certain sense, he tries to answer why the psukim not in order. The answer is that after Aaron HaKohen is done, the rest of the avaida, then already he can have a connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu without the Anak HaTevis. That's what David Zvi Hoffman wants to say.
Does it say anywhere in Chumash that Aaron should leave the Machta in there?
We learn from this. Yeah, because he places it there, and the Keteres goes on.
He could have left with it in his hand.
That's true. So
this pasuk is what's telling us.
They're telling right. El Chalami. The pasuk was telling us. Okay, that's what David Zvi Hoffman is. Now I want to continue a little bit on this thing, because I think it's an important thing. It seems to me that it's rather clear in Chazal that based upon this idea that he's coming in without an ananakateiros, without burning the incense, and he's taking out the kafan machta, it seems to me that Chazal understood that that's a second stage. That's after another stage in the avodah. Meaning what? Meaning is that in fact, and this is very, very similar in a structural way to the Korban Pesach. Just like in the Korban Pesach, we spoke about that there's Pesach Mitzrayim and there's Pesach Doiros. And then how the Chumash gives us a spectrum of history from the Korban Pesach, which is eaten in Mitzrayim, to the Korban Pesach that's eaten with the Beis HaMikdash, when it's eaten ala Seiva, when they would bring the Shalmei Chagiga and the Chagiga Shudalet, and it was eaten on Lasev, the Korban Pesach becomes incorporated into an Avodah, which is the Avodah of Simchas Yontov and Chag HaPesach. And we spoke about that in detail. So too, it's clear here that the entering into the Oyel Mayeh is something which is incorporating the day of Yom Kippur from another aspect, not only the aspect of the avodah of the Kohen Gadol. In other words, when the Kohen Gadol enters without the Anan HaKeteres, so in a certain sense, the Yontif is not focused solely on the Kohen Gadol connecting with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, but rather, it becomes much more of a public celebration or a public fast, where in fact, we don't expect everyone to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but rather there's an entrance into Oyel Mayeh without the Anan HaKeteres. In other words, the entering is not a singular event involving the Kohen Gadol, but it's an entering which in fact becomes let's put it this way, less of a nullification of the physical, but more of an act which involves all of Klal Yisrael. Because not all Klal Yisrael enters into none of Klal Yisrael does the avodah, enters in Yad HaKatoros. In other words, let me make myself a little bit clearer. In other words, what happens is that the avodah of the Kohen Gadol at this stage is not something unique, that the Kohen Gadol confronts the presence, the Shechina, ki be'onen eira ala kapoiles, but rather this act of confronting the Shechina becomes now part and parcel of a public fast involving all of Klal Yisrael, and therefore there's no need for the onen akateiros at this point. Meaning is that Chazal understood that after now we bring other kabbonis which are not focused on the avoid of kaparet oil moyed, and then after that the Kohen Gadol enters into the oil moyed and takes out the kaf and the machte. So in other words, what the Chumash is telling us is that this singular event which focuses on the Kohen Gadol now becomes incorporated within a more general public event. Just as, for example, the Korban Pesach, which is eaten at the very end of the Suda, incorporates the Korban Pesach within the celebration of the Yontif of Pesach, and not just the eating of the Tzli'esh, that was Pesach Mitzrayim, when it wasn't really a celebration, but was eaten, of course, with in the conditions in which they ate it. So, in other words, what are these other karbanos which had to be incorporated within the avodah? So it turns out that in the Chumash, in Parshas Bamidbar, the Chumash in Perek in Parshas Pinchas, right? Parshas Pinchas in Perek of Ches, Pasuk. I'm sorry, Perek of Tes, beginning Pasuk Zayin. The Chumash tells us. The Torah is going through all the kabbonis of the different Yomim Tovim, and the Chumash is relating to us the kabbonis of Yom Kippur. And it says, "V'asolach chodesh hashviyah zeh mikra kushya lachem v'nisem esnafshay seichem." That means it's a public fast. V'kraftem oylo la'ashem reich nechoy. We have a par ben u'bakar, a par. We have an ayil, and then we have shiva kavasim. And then we have a Se'izim L'chatas, it says, Milvat Chatas HaKippurim. This is an addition to the avodah of the Kohen Gadol, the Shnei Se'irim, the Kohen Gadol brought to fly with them. And in fact, Chazal focus on this in the Sugya in Psochim, and beginning with the Mishnah of Ayim on Aleph. And in fact, actually there's a Machloikas, the Gura presents a Machloikas, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Eliezer. How do we incorporate the kabbonis of Parshas Pinchas? Daf Ayin and Aleph.
In Yuma, right.
What did I say? I'm sorry, Yuma, right? How do we incorporate the kabbonis of Parshas Pinchas, which are public kabbonis? It's a public atonement. It's not focused on the Kohen Gadol. How do we incorporate these kabbonis in Parshas Pinchas with the avoid of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur? And then we have an interesting machloikas. I'm not going to go into it. That's only Yashir and Yuma. We have, for example, a machloikas of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara answered, right? So according to Rabbi Eliezer, after the Kohen Gadol does the avodah of Yom Kippur, then after that, we do the kavanah, we bring the kavanahs of Parshas Pinchas. And Rabbi Eliezer says, what's the reason? Because Torah's Kahanim come before Chol Mishapakudim. In other words, just do it in order. First, we have the avodah of the Kohen Gadol, and then we have the public fast, the public kabbonis. So that's what Eliezer learns. You take the Chumash and you do it in order. A little bit, right? And comes Rabbi Akiva, and says, no. Rabbi Akiva says, because in Choftes Zayin, the Torah says, Milvat Chatatz HaKippurim, and then the Torah also says, the lashon of the chumash is milvad oilas haboiker asher oilas hatomid. So Rabbi Akiva says, no, you have to integrate the korbanos within the avoda of the kohen gadol Yom Kippur. Now it's very interesting. Rabbi Akiva is going l'shitasai. Remember we spoke about the machloikas and dispute Rabbi Ezer, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva. We spoke about this when we spoke about the Chazanish in Siman Kuf Kafein Orachaim. Say that in Sifas Parshas Torah. That okay, that was Rabbi Yishmael said that we have to look at the chumash as it appears in order. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, that's not true. Right, Rabbi Akiva doubts from the pasuk Bahal Sinai. Then in fact, we can go back and learn the chumash without order. That all the mitzvahs and the pratim were given Bahal Sinai too. It's very interesting that Rabbi Akiva here is taking the same shita that he takes there in the Yerushalmi Shkolim or the Teras Kahanim, that the later parts of the chumash in fact should not be understood to be in order, in the order of the scripture, but rather one has to integrate the later parts of the chumash into the early parts of the chumash. And Rabbi Eliezer, this is not Rabbi Shmuel, it's Rabbi Eliezer, appears to be taking, well, what I would say maybe is the shita of Rabbi Yishmael, that one actually learns the chumash in order. You with me? One learns the chumash in order. Oh, so very, very good. So what does it mean? What it means is that, but however we understand it, in addition to that, when it says that the Kohen Gadol says, when it says here, he says, V'oysa es oylosuvi oylas ha'am, he brings two oylas. So there's a machloikas, the Gemara also brings a machloikas, Rabbi Elazar Shimon, right? Whether one of these oylas, are these two oylas that are unique for Yom Kippur? Or is one of these oylas, one of the, an ayil that's done, here as an oyla, is the ayil that's mentioned in Bamidbar, Parshas Pinchas. So we see that what Chazal are doing is that they're integrating the later korbanos, which are part of a public fast, Minisim Nashoseichem, and are not focused on the unique entrance of the Kohen Gadol Flavlifnin, and how much these are to be incorporated into the avoda of the Kohen Gadol, meaning that Chazal understood that in fact the avoda of the Kohen Gadol has to be incorporated into a public Day of Atonement, and in fact, on the basis of this, and the remes, the ha'ore that Chazal saw in the Chumash was the fact I want to claim using Hoffman's idea that the Kohen Gadol is going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim without other nakatoras, which means the Kohen Gadol Avoida becomes much more incorporated into the Avoida of the Am. There's not a unique status, ontological, spiritual status of the Kohen Gadol, but rather it's an Avoida like all other Avoidas. That's what I want to say. Now it's very interesting.
The whole thing, or just the second, just the last one, he goes back to get the Machta.
Right, the last one. That's the last one.
The other one is
Avadi is going in the Anakatoyas. Right. Now, a little bit of an aside, as you all know, the Gemara in Daf Nun Gimel, I think it's Daf Nun Gimel in Yuma, speaks about a machlokes between Chazal and Stukim. How does the Kohen Gadol, when does the Kohen Gadol burn the Keteiros? So, V'zoi Shavu Aron Al HaKodesh, right? Ki Ben Aron Al HaKodesh. Ki Be Onan Eira Al HaKodesh. So the Stukim learned that Aaron HaKohen has to burn the incense, the Keteiros, and then enter the Kodesh HaKodashim. And Chazal very vehemently argued on this. The Gemara there brings the relevant psukim. What I want to focus on is that this machlokes was a fundamental machlokes. In fact, when the Kohen Gadol was quarantined 7 days, the last night, they used to make the Kohen Gadol swear that he wasn't at Stuki, which means that Chazal understood that this machlokes was a fundamental machlokes. What could be so fundamental about this machlokes? I want to explain to you what's fundamental. The Stukim, as we know, didn't believe in Teresh Be'al Peh, which means they rejected man's ability to reason, to intellectualize. Everything is Teresh Be'chsav. There's no place for man's intellect. So for the Stukim, to enter into the Kodesh Kodashim, you can only enter with Adonak Teres. It's not shayach to be in the Kodesh HaKadoshim if you haven't walked over the threshold in a cloud. I think it's called a fire cloud. For Chazal, that's not true. You could enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim initially without the burning the ketivas, and then you burn the ketivas. In other words, the act is a halachic act, which Chazal understood based upon the principles of the Teresh Rial Peh, which are only elucidated and fathomed through man's intellect. So I want to claim that this pasuk of Aaron entering without a keteris at all is a unique feature of the Teresh Rial Peh, and Chazal express it by fact that through the koyach hamasayra, Hamasura lano the Teresh Rial Peh from Chazal, they in fact actually what? They in factually said the pasuk is not written in order, it was written in another place in the Chumash. In other words, the most quote unquote daring drasha of Chazal, where they actually take the pasuk and say it's referring to a later part of the Avodah, Loibim Koyme Nechtab, say Chazal, is precisely a pasuk which describes the Kohen Gadol entering without a keteris whatsoever, which signals to us the importance of the human intellect. The man connects with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through his intellect, and not purely in some spiritual realm, we have to burn a keteris. You're not with me.
I don't get the case.
In other words, like this. For Chazal, entering into the Kodesh HaKadoshim without a keteris represents the supremacy of human intellect. For the tzdukim, a person cannot enter unless he's covered with an anan ha-keteiras. He has to be submerged in ruchnis, in spirituality. Chazal understood that even though when a person connects with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, he has to be mispachet, he has to be stripped of his physicality, nonetheless, this is something which a person with his intellect decides to do through his understanding of the Torah. Therefore, he enters into the Kodesh HaKadoshim without the keteiras. You're not with me.
I understand what Rav Trivitz is saying, but I could suggest the other way that
that's
true. People believe in Masorah, and they've got a Masorah Torah Rav here. This is the way to do it. Don't do it until later.
But what?
So
what?
Do you accept the Masorah without?
If they weren't arguing with the Stokim or the Guru, but this was seemed to be a fundamental argument with the Stokim
about whether there's a Masorah or not.
No, I disagree with you. The Stokim only believes in Torah Shabbosan
because they hold
Torah Shabbosan involves a human intellect. That's what I understand.
But over here, in this particular loch, I'm sorry.
Maybe this is a drash of Chazal.
Maybe yes, maybe no. I'm saying, Rav Trivitz is saying it means intellect. It could also, perhaps it means a belief in the Masorah.
Okay.
Which is the
That's the way David said he's learning. I'm going to learn differently. I'm going to learn that according to Chazal, pure Teresh B'Chsav, without a Teresh Rial Peh, as the Beis Halevi says in his drasha, in Chelik Beis the drasha, the Shut Beis Halevi, is that the purpose of Teresh Rial Peh is that man's intellect takes a role in what you're calling the Besayah.
No, there's a difference.
Let me continue. Oh, you want to? Okay, I'll give you the stage.
I think there's a difference between developing Halachot, which is Torah Shabbat.
I don't want to.
Over here, in the Midbar, they did it this way. Aaron Cohen did it like this with the Seder that's written.
Chazal is saying in this that he brought. Wait a minute, one second. I think we're in two places. We're speaking about the machlokes between Chachamim and between Chacham and Stokim. Did Aaron Cohen enter in with the Keteris, or didn't let the Keteris when he was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim?
So the way Aaron did it, the Chore is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu is the way he should do it.
I understand.
It's not a major invention of Chazal or a drash.
Chas v'shalom. But there's obviously a machlok between Chacham and Stukim. And actually, in fact, the Gemara presents us two ways the way they learned it. So I want to claim, the drash of Chazal, which is the Terah Mesura Biyadeinu, Chazal are telling you that this is what the Kodesh Baruch Hu taught Aaron HaKohen. It's saying is that the connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu is not only purely through Aaron HaKohen, but it has the human intellect. Aaron HaKohen means like a Moshe Niklas B'Toch Ava Adon. It's the spashtus of the goof. It's a spiritual state. But I want to claim is that the fact that I can enter in the Kodesh HaKadoshim without Adon Ketores means that man also maintains his intellect independent of this complete spiritual state. That's what I want to say. You want to disagree, you can disagree. That's what I want to say. And therefore, and this was, and I want to claim that why was this a fundamental dispute with Chazal and the Sukkim? Because the Sukkim only believed in the Teres Shebaksav. There's no Teres Shebaksav. There's no rule for man's intellect. And because of that, I cannot even enter the Kodesh Kedoshim without being encased in the Anan HaKadoshim. While She'enkin, Chazal understood that my connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu does involve the independent uses of man's intellect, and therefore I could enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim without the Anan HaKadoshim, and then I'll be the Dosha of Chazal, which is the Ratzon of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, which I've discovered using my intellect, and this was told Aaron, then in fact, actually, I can be mocked to the Keteros with the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's what I'm saying.
Do we find that, almost as a Kal V'chomer, that Sadukim disagreed with the second entry of the Kohen Gadol without any cloud at all?
So, it's very, very interesting, is that, I don't know if they disagree, but one thing is for sure. The fact that the Pasha, the Chazal say, that the pasuk is written Shalai Kisidron certainly would have ired the opposition, ired the Tzdukim. The Tzdukim understand you read the Chumash like you read a story, a newspaper. You don't read it Shalai Kisidron. Shalai Kisidron is Spitz Teira Shebi'al Peh. And I want to claim, why is this Spitz Teira Shebi'al Peh? Because Chazal understood the intellect of Moshe Rabbeinu, Hamasura Biyadeinu, the drashas of Chazal, as we explained about the Torah's coming to Ma'amaz us for that fact. And this is understood in the Chumash, using Abdovet Svartman's idea, that the Kohen Gadol can enter into the Kodesh Kedoshim without an Anan HaKadoshim. Because the incorporation of the other Kabbanos within the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol, of which this pasuk is so essential and so central, this is the drushes of Rabbi Yekiva, of Rabbi Eliezer, of all the Tanayim. There are three shitas in Chazal on this. That's what I want to say. Okay. Now, I want to just mention one more thing too. It's interesting that the Gemara says, of course, why is the Pasuk written out of order? My timer. I'm on Ayin Aleph and Aleph in Yuma. So the Gemara says, Omer Rav Chisda Gemiri, this halacha l'meishe b'sinai, chamesh tevilos v'asar kiddushin tevil kohen gadol u'makadosh bo b'yom. This halacha l'meishe b'sinai. Now, the way we explained the psukim now, while it is halacha l'meishe b'sinai, but it seems this is what Rabbi Sadli is saying. There's no logic. There's no ideas in this. Halacha l'meishe b'sinai. Chamesh tevilos, that's it. I want to claim not necessarily so. Why? Because we see in the Rosh, in Hilchas Mikvois, and the Rosh brings from Arash, I believe in Yadaya, that sometimes when the Gemara is knocked at Halacha...
Wait, which page?
Well,
page?
Actually, I know, let's see, it's in the Rosh, it's Pei Tes, I guess you'd say Amud Beis, begins Hilchas Mikvois. I have in front of me over here. I'm not going to read from it, but I have in front of me for the picture.
They can't actually see it from the video.
In the Chumash, the Rosh says that even though the Gemara many times, he brings a right from Shuvim, the Pasal HaMikvah, even though the Gemara says, Halacha L'mish B'Sinai, says the Rosh, something means Kloima, Dova Bora, Halacha L'mish B'Sinai, something which is clear, like Halacha L'mish B'Sinai. Now, of course, the Rosh there is making the distinction between the Rabbanim and the Araisa. This is obviously Araisa. But what I want to claim is we see that the notion of Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai also can have a logic to it. Dova Bora can have a logic to it too. In fact, I always use that to explain. I don't know if I explained it here in the Shkabash Odarta. I explained it here in
the Rambam Shalimah.
Okay, anyway, Chavtes Amud Beis, when Rabbi Akiva says Halacha B'Sinai and Shashav died to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Moshe Rabbeinu was happy that Rabbi Akiva is using his intellect, his Dvorim Borim. That's what's in the Yashva Daita Shal Moshe Rabbeinu. So, what I want to claim is that there is a logic to Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. We're not arguing the fact that it doesn't come B'Sinai. But here it has to be a double bore. It's clear. The Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai is the pasuk was written out of order. Because the writing of the pasuk out of order is that what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling us, that the connection between a Kodesh Baruch Hu and Klai Yisrael is not only the singular connection of the Kohen Gadol and the Kodesh Kodashim Ba'ana Keteres, but in fact everybody has this connection, right? It was intellect we learned in Torah. And I want to claim V'haraya, that the day that was Nikba for Yom Kippur is this 10th day of Tishrei, which is Lucha Shniyos. And Lucha Shniyos, as the Beis HaLevi says in the famous Drasha, is in fact Torah Shebi'alpeh. So the Torah was Nikba on the day, Yom Kippur was Nikba, was set on the day that the Torah Shebi'alpeh was given to Klal Yisrael, that man's intellect would also be a participant in the Torah HaMasura from HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Moshe Rabbeinu to Klai Yisrael throughout all the days. And in fact, the incorporation of the Kabbalahs in Bamidbar are part and parcel of this very, very process. That's what I want to say. I think there's much more to say. I'm sure Beis Lo says much more to say. But in any case, I think here we have an understanding of how Chazal saw in the Psukim, which really is an oral tradition, how the Torah, the Avodah, became part of an oral tradition, which means Torah Shebi'al Peh. The Torah Shebi'al Peh is transmitted on top of Torah Shebi'al Peh that could be interpreted and could be fathomed to its depth, right? In the way in which the Torah's Emes, right? And the Or HaTorah shines through the verses and through Chazal and through Klal Yisrael, okay? I think this will probably be the last lecture in this series. There's much more to speak about that, but of course if we go on through other parts of the Chumash, we might as well be giving a Chumash here, which is going to be a lot more than 10 Shi'urim. So I think at this point maybe we have an idea of what...
If anyone wants to fund the Chumash here.
Okay, in any case...
The hotlines are open now.
Okay, fine, very good. Anyway, so until the next series of Shi'urim, from an undisclosed place in Yerushalayim, Irak Kodesh, Kol Tov.